Well, I guess it's 5 minutes, probably getting people enough time to join. We need a scribe. The list I see is Brad, Henry, Nathan, Dave Lane. Dave, you're the only one on the call, I think, on that. Can you scribe?
I suppose I can try, although I might fall behind.
Okay, no problem. You on the, are you in IRC?
Yeah, I'm Taz on there. Should I type the scribe thing?
I got it.
I don't know how this, Is that how it works, or is it just scribe?
Scribe is the full name. Scribe Nick is your handle, I think is how it works.
Okay.
Welcome everyone. Mono asked me to chair since I believe his wife is having a baby, if has not already, and probably is at least catching up on sleep, if not having better things to do today. So we have agenda I've posted, and we issue the order of the agenda that Mono had set out was Marcus' proposal on splitting the spec, normalization, moving normalization to an external document out of the main spec, merging base and vocab, and then optimizing compact form. Is that agenda order okay for everyone? Does anyone have anything else they'd like to add to the agenda? All right, let's start with the first topic. Marcus is not here, I believe, to defend this, but the gist of the topic, and let me put the URI up there as well. Topic 28 is to split the spec into syntax and API documents. I think the argument being that most people that are approaching JSON-LD will be in the position of wanting to produce or use existing tools to consume rather than having to be burdened with the complexity of understanding actually how to implement a parser and all of the various different pieces. So having something that is simpler and a little less off-putting might improve chances of having this spec be widely adopted. Is anyone any comments on this? Q plus to add yourself to the speaker queue. Does anyone have any opinions as to whether it's a good idea? I think my thoughts are that there's always a danger in sort of separating a spec into different pieces, and that once that's done, it becomes easy for them to diverge, or for one to be recognized and the other one not seen. Let's see, Nicholas. Go ahead.
Yes, I agree with you in part, but I think that it would be a good idea. For one, I believe that the algorithms for framing is something that is quite orthogonal to the format itself, actually. I wrote a piece on that to the mailing list relating it to how I handle the similar use cases using Sparkle in against the triple stores. And on the other hand, I also think that an API, while it's very good to exercise, actually it's necessary to exercise the usage of data to get something of a good feel about how it works in practice. I think that the API is more bound to sort of using this data in a JavaScript environment, and I believe that that's also just as orthogonal. So I'm kind of in favor of this split, actually.
Right, so this split is really towards dealing with the syntax versus versus the processing rules, rather than splitting the processing rules out. For instance, potentially removing framing from the processing rules into a separate spec would be something would be a different proposal. But
yeah. Sorry. Actually, I meant that both of these are orthogonal to the syntax. So then again, I'd support splitting that as well, I suppose. But I think that they are separate from what the syntax should focus on as well.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this? So, I'm sorry, who's that? Who just stepped in?
It's Ted. Generally in favor of the separation of concepts here. There have been some concerns voiced about splitting the spec into multiple documents, and I don't have a problem with it staying in one document with clear sections. An indication you only need the syntax for a lot of stuff. You only need the APIs for a lot of stuff. And can sort of ignore the other piece, but it's still part of the integral whole.
I think Mono's point was that we should, not that we should not split the spec, but for the time being, we should work with a common spec in order to facilitate changes and not lead to sort of a separation of these things. My proposal to the list was that we clearly specify the different sections that we want to work with. For instance, a syntax section, which could then potentially stand alone. Certainly, API should stand alone as well. So I guess do we have enough of a feeling to be able to make a proposal on this?
I have a question. I think that I agree with this. I mean, we don't. Actually, you don't. I don't work on this. I don't see the necessity of splitting it right away, and I absolutely agree that it would probably be good enough for the time being to do the separation of concerns in different sections and maintaining it like that. And then I suppose it would be important to raise this question again when hopefully the time comes to do a W3C standard of the syntax. Because at that time, I believe that it would be necessary to split it into separate documents.
All right, let me see if I can frame a proposal. There we go. That's a good one. Let me put that as a proposal. So can I get some votes on that? Great. Okay, let's move on to the next agenda, normalization into an external document. Let's see. And here's the URI for that. So issue 27. So the suggestion was made by Gavin Carruthers and Yvonne on the mailing list that the normalization algorithm is sufficiently general that it should be a general RDF normalization algorithm and taken out of the JSON LD spec as such. Dave, I know you're a little handicapped in speaking, but do you want to comment on this in IRC? So Dave's basically saying in IRC that his understanding that we should keep the normalization API for JSON-LD, but move the algorithm to another document, since normalization might have multiple algorithms in the future anyway. That's my understanding of the proposal. The question is there some value in keeping it in JSON? Because, of course, JSON-LD is more than an RDF spec. We're trying to be a little bit more neutral than that and be able to do processing within the JSON domain without requiring a move towards, say, a triple store or something that would have the ability to run other algorithms. So Dave continues, there should be a way to normalize JSON-LD, especially if we want a way to say that there is one way to represent a particular graph. So, Dave, I think you've done a good job of stating the positions. Do you have a position, or can you relate a position of Manu with regards to keeping that within the core spec or separating it? So it sounds like both Dave and Mono would generally be agreeable towards separating out that as a core algorithm into a different document, if that would aid in its being adopted more generally. But that we should maintain within the spec an API call that would invoke that externally referenced algorithm. Any other comment on this topic? Okay, so proposal. Okay, it's a proposal, move the normalization into a separate spec. Okay, I think we, so far as this group's concerned, I haven't seen any other strong opposition towards doing that, so resolved. Great. Okay, next agenda, issue 26. Merging base and vocab. So the concern here is that having two different mechanisms that do very much the same thing is confusing, and that we should actually use what other languages have done and go down to use a single term base that is used for resolving all IRIs. So anyone want to jump in on the speaker queue? Nicholas.
Yes, I'm not sure if you had the time to read my reply, this reply. I'm not up to date with the exact wording of how base and vocab work in JSON-LD spec, honestly. But as far as I understand, they work like vocab and base works in RDFA, and similarly how the default prefix versus base works in Turtle. So I would expect them not to operate on the same in the same way. And as I said in the email, I believe that they work for very different reasons. And for one, it's not that common. I believe it's quite rare, actually, to use the same domain for subjects and objects in your data as you use for the vocabulary, if you use one primary vocabulary. For instance, profiles commonly would have a different base than, but want the default vocab to be FOF, the FOF base vocab URI. And the same for things like document records using Dublin Core or Bebo and good relations items and so on and so forth. Also, as far as I know, in other languages at least, base works with URI resolution. So you use you can use the current document as a base URI, and if you resolve an absolute but not full URI against it, you will produce another full URI. Whereas vocab works with string concatenation, so you have one base string, and then you concat terms to that, and you produce URIs for properties or types. So I would go with minus one on that one, unless I'm understanding things in a very different way from you guys.
Yeah, I basically have a similar opinion. That base and vocab actually perform two separate roles. And in fact, the mechanism by which URIs are resolved is different with base and with URI. Base being used to resolve relative URIs uses more URI-like arithmetic, which means that it's not strictly based upon concatenation. It can remove path components or replace the last element of a path, depending upon how it's used. And the vocabularies are typically quite a lot separate from the subject that's being discussed. And I believe that we have it so that vocab kicks in both for properties as well as for the target of a type, since they both would typically come then from that same vocabulary.
Yes, I think so too.
So my sense is definitely that we should keep base and vocab as separate facilities within JSON-LD in order to serve those different functions. Other languages, for instance, in Turtle, it's not quite as necessary because you typically would go back towards using, say, a default prefix to serve that role. But within JSON-LD, that doesn't really have – it's not quite as desirable, since that would cause you to have to put colons in your keys, which would then – require that they always be quoted when they're used. Using vocab allows the keys to be bare names, which don't have to be quoted. So, crafting a proposal here.
oh, by the way, a thing that was mentioned in the issue is that currently it's not defined. Base is not used for resolving relative subjects, it appears, and that sounds like a spec bug to me.
I believe so. I believe base should be used for resolving relative URIs, and if it's not in there, yeah, that is an omission.
Yep.
Votes on this proposal? Great. All right, we're plowing through all these things. We're not halfway through the hour yet. So either I'm doing a good job or a bad job. All right, next topic. Optimizing the compact form. And I have to confess, I am not up to date on this issue. So the discussion, earlier in the issue online is that Mono and I had discussed improving the compact form serializer to produce shorter, more compartmentalized, digestible output. Optimization is primarily against at IRI keyed blocks, predicates having multiple IRI targets. Any value like at IRI slash Joe should automatically be compacted to just slash Joe, and a coercion rule should be added to context. And we also briefly speculated whether this should be described as a new form, i.e. short. In any case, this should be a form where all non-data terms are separated into context sections as much as possible. This will help pave the way for JSON-LD web servers to encourage key value pairs with default context and support really thin clients that don't have any linked data know-how. Dave, you probably are the closest to that one. I'm not exactly clear what the change to the spec is. Is this just an update to the compaction algorithm that would basically say to take as much possible of the context elements when shortening the body of the document? So Dave says it's mostly an API change. The only syntax change would be if we created a new name for this form. In my own implementation, I've done most of this anyway. It is not a compact form as described in the spec, but it definitely does try to remove the use of keywords as much as possible. Dave goes on to say that I think this should be about options to the compact call that may or may not be in the default options. One other suggestion I put out onto the list was that we might use a regular expression to recognize IRIs, for instance, a bare name followed by a colon followed by anything else, which would mean we did not need to use an IRI keyword for most forms, but it would also mean that if you were ever to use something that looked like an IRI in as a straight value, when you intended that to be a literal, you would now need to mark it up as being a literal. Nicholas.
Yes, this is a bit tangential. I think that it sounds like we're talking about options for allowing, I don't know, we could call it a native form, like JSON native, non-JSON LD syntax within the data and in the context. so that we could adopt contexts to parse JSON, which doesn't carry any JSON-LD specific concepts within it. Is that the goal?
Well, I think the goal of compaction is to, one, create small documents, but also to eliminate a lot of the use of keywords outside of the context in order to lead things that are more directly usable without having to go through these longer forms.
Yeah.
So, I think that's basically echoing what you just said.
I like that approach. I think that it's well worth investigating. Also, as you suggest, to have some amount of magic coercion with regular expressions, both for full URIs and possibly for dates and date times as well. It's not really within the mentioned features which would make it easier to support this so-called native JSON form.
Yeah, that thought had occurred to me as well, that, for instance, if we had a string which was in the lexical form of a date, time, or duration, that could be directly interpreted as being one of those types in particular. I'm not aware of any other types that might make a lot of sense for.
No, as far as I've seen working with such things for quite some time, I believe that they are the most important. Actually, date and daytime alone would be sufficient for many use cases. I believe that if we were to go down this route, it would be valuable. It would be prudent to have explicit magic coercion within the context so that we declared it, not enabled it by default. It would be very...
Yeah, I'm a little wary of adding too many options to the processing sense. I think that's just going to lead to confusion and implementations that perhaps take different defaults for those various different options. So I'd suggest we adopt a standard way for conformant processors to behave without the use of additional options as much as possible.
Yeah, I can see that. Although if magic coercion were enabled by default, that might lead to troubles in various cases.
As long as we can fall back on the keyword syntactic forms to remove ambiguity, I think that might be acceptable.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
all right. So, any other comment? We've brought up a number of different mechanisms. I think we should consider them individually as proposals.
Yes.
Dave, I'm going to ask you to see if you can phrase a proposal for the original optimizing compact form here to capture that. So I think you have the most complete feeling for that. So the proposal is to add an option to the Compact API to automatically type coerce IRIs. So I'm going to, again, I'm a little bit averse to adding options. Do we need any more comment? Anyone else have anything to say on this?
I think that it might have to be deferred. I can't really decide either. I need to investigate. I don't know so much about the Compact API as well, so the feature sounds useful, but I cannot decide.
I'd suggest then we defer this and discuss more on the mailing list, see if we can get some resolution. Let's look at some of the other things that were brought up. So a proposal is to use a regular expression to recognize IRIs and therefore avoid the explicit use of IRIs. Any comments? Is it premature to do this one? Should this be discussed on the list further? Nicholas?
I'd vote yes, but I personally would like to control it in the context somehow, although I understand your aversion to more options. But, I'm a plus one with controlled
options. Okay, well, we're clearly over. Dave, did you want to say something about this as well? Dave Lane?
Hang on a second. In the past, when we originally did the spec, we actually started off with some micro syntaxes for IRIs and things where we had like angle brackets around everything. And that really didn't work out so well because then you have issues where how do you escape out of that? And it seems like this is going down the same route as opposed to a regular sort of syntax. And I mean, we have the mechanism in the context to actually specify what IRIs are. So if you actually don't want to have the IRI syntax, we have a mechanism for that. I'm just afraid it's going to go down some path where it's going to have magic behavior rather than being a little bit more regular and obvious to understand what's going on.
Okay. Would you have a similar comment for recognizing the lexical forms of dates, times, and durations?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come up with the same problem of if you actually wanted it to be literal, then, you know, you're going to have to, you know, if it was like user input or something that you actually had in there, you'd have to like check and see whether it looks like the, you know, process something that's going to process it is going to think it looks like a date and assume it's a date when you actually meant it to just be text or just a literal string. And it seems like there's going to be some, you know, complications with that, and just it may lead to unexpected behavior or lead to the case where all the literals would have to be, you know, explicit literals instead of having it be the other way around where you just specify, you know, explicit date times or whatever types you're messing with.
Yeah, there were calls I remember seeing earlier on regarding wanting to have dates and times as first class objects within the spec. But it does certainly lead to that issue. Nicholas, you have the floor.
Yeah, well, basically a repetition. And as you see in IRC, with an option like that, I've seen lots of data, and I've come across IRIs who are intended to be strings or plain literals, as they were called in RDF 1.0. So there are issues. Date and date times, I've never actually seen a string in any data, JSON or CSV or anywhere, which looks like a date or a date time in the W3C format, which wasn't intended as that. But I still believe and agree that there are edge cases, and enabling this without controllable options would be problematic.
So Dave Longley pipes in, things get hairy when we go above and beyond what syntax JSON itself supports. It's the mess of microsyntax is adding magic is going to be similar to this and difficult to get right. Yeah. So I think at least this really requires a lot more discussion on the list, and we very well may come to the similar conclusion that was reached before, that it's just more trouble than it ultimately is worth. Any more input on this topic? So we'll defer this to further discussion on the mailing list. Dave says having a compact API to do this for people is an option. So I gather that would mean some API that interacted with the optimization form that would perform similar operations. If we might adopt, for instance, keywords to identify other core data types, not wanting to use an SSD space, for instance, at date time, could be then used in a coerce sense. Typically, you're going to have a date time, which is the value of some particular property, and that would be a way to allow you to use a compact form of representing that without having to import the SSD namespace into the spec. Okay, any other discussion on this topic? Any additional topics? Otherwise, we'll end early. Nicholas.
This is more of a question. I'm in the process of writing down the suggestion. So I wonder if you have discussed lately the value of using a top-level language directive, kind of like XML-Lang in other markups, to coerce strings to strings with language tags.
That was not, I don't believe that's been discussed. I considered something similar, and you might imagine, very much like you say, you could have a context block that would identify the language to be added to string literals within the scope of that particular context. A little bit more heavy-handed than is done in XML. And I think in my experience, either you want to set a language for the entire document, or you really want to have it a fine detail so that you have a language for a number of different values of the same property so that you can express that easily. In which case, we're pretty much going down to Lang syntax we have already with literals.
Yeah, I agree that placing it anywhere, like in XML, is too much, but a top level would be extremely useful for many cases I've come across. Either that or some kind of coercion mechanism, but still, you'd have to combine that coercion mechanism with the type of language, well, the language to be used, which is more of an on a per instance than on a in the context kind of thing. But I will write this down. I just wanted to mention the ID, so in case anybody else had thought about
it. Okay, well, let's discuss that more on the mailing list as well. Perhaps you can send out a topic to initiate that discussion.
Yeah, I'll write up.
Anything else to bring up before we end the call? Okay, everyone, thank you very much for participating. Dave, thanks very much for scribing. And I won't be on the call next time, but we'll see you all on the mailing list. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.